Whoa.
Hey.
It sure is.
It is happy hour again. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis.
Welcome back, Curtis. How you doing?
I couldn't be better. We are, I'm super excited just because I'm staring down the barrel of cocktails after cocktail after cocktail. So I'm super excited.
You have a beautiful view of the back bar.
Right. And so if you, anybody who's watching live, you can see there we've got a live cam from behind the bar. We're sitting out in the patio at Barrel House 101. So kind of anyone who's out there listening live, you know, where are you? Get down here.
That's right. Kind of a, cloudy. I don't know what's going on today with the weather. But it's perfect cocktail weather.
It is. It is. And just even thinking about what's coming up down the line, I mean, that's what the cocktail, it gets me in the mood anyway, I should say.
So are you fully recovered?
No, I don't think so. You know what? I think I feel kind of like the older brother in Beer Fest, you know, when they were trying to get him drunk and everything. And he goes, well, you know, I have been training for a beer drinking contest.
Right.
I feel like I've been training this whole week since starting Saturday.
Yeah, I think the whole month of May, it feels like I was training for drinking with the anniversary and just all the stuff that we were doing and the shows. But I'm starting to feel like myself again finally. But
yeah, I
think it was a great time.
The last thing for me was just catching up on sleep. For some reason, I felt I just couldn't seem to get caught up.
And you had a festival weekend.
I did. So, you know, we started off with early morning Saturday. And, I mean, I think the pre-festival antics have to be recounted here because at about, I don't know, what time was that, 9:30 or 10 o'clock,
yes.
On the 101 heading up to Paso Robles, there goes Joby and Andy going flying by me. Me and my
safety first.
safe driving habits.
Well, I couldn't believe that we caught up to you guys. I said, Andy, I think that's Curtis and Jason. And sure enough, we blew past you guys. Yeah, Andy's got a bit of a lead foot, but you know, we got up there pretty quickly. I think we were already out of the car and stretching out and everything until you guys pulled up.
Yeah, what the fuck? Where are you guys? Come on. I know. One of those kinds of things.
It was a good time. I mean, I don't know. I think for the last five shows, we just kept talking about how it was coming up. And
right.
Now it's in the books and it's done. But it was a really well-run, world-class festival.
Excited to it. And I don't want to shortcut the pre-drink we had either. We stopped at Villicano.
That's right.
Or Refined Distillery. And we had our sample taste of they had a new rye whiskey that they were working on.
Oh,
so
right.
that was that was a treat. I mean, how many? It was
they
just
had like two little baby barrels.
It was just a few months old too, and it was amazingly smooth for being what 2-3 months old. So
I think somebody asked, "Where's your barrel room?" And I think you pointed down below the rack, and there was like one looked like yeah, there was like one half barrel and like another like a baby
I think the little ones were probably 5 gallons, so you're looking at maybe 30 gallons of whiskey. That's gonna be, I mean, if that hits the market and it tastes good, that's gonna be $100 bottle of whiskey right there, just because it's such a small quantity. But it was a good taste. And then not only with that, but then we got a pre-taste of their cucumber infused gin? What, or was it the vodka? I'm trying to remember which one it is. But
I think it was the vodka, and it was just going to be cucumber flavor. That's it.
Right. So we had a couple of different, we got to see a couple of the different, I don't know, trial runs where it's mason jar full of vodka.
Research and development.
Right.
That was like, let me take you into the laboratory. And it's just, it's so fun to see such a small plate. You get like, you really get an appreciation for just how handcrafted it was. Like, here's the lab right here. They had like three mason jars full of different cucumber, one cucumber peel, one half peel, one fully peeled. That's
right.
Cool.
Yeah, the R&D department looks a lot like a utility closet in these small places.
And the barrel room's underneath, the utility closet's the laboratory. Somebody's really excited.
Yeah, there's something going on, hockey or something happening.
Yeah, that's right. We got Kings and some basketball. But yeah, it was great to see. Unfortunately, Alex wasn't there, but it was really cool to see the setup and try the stuff.
Right.
And we wanted to take it easy because we didn't, you know, we had a festival ahead of us.
Right. You don't go to a beer festival and get liquored up on gin and vodka before you go. It
depends what festival. You don't go to this festival. go to the Invitational with...
one of the things I was really worried about was this festival not living up to my expectations, and I'm happy to say that it did live up to my expectations, but, you know, there were plenty of people that I talked to that went last year, and they were all just stoked on it, and so it just kept building it up a little bit. And then it's named one of the top seven beer festivals to go to before you die.
It was actually named before the second year even happened, so yeah. It was like, you know, our buddy Kip from LA Aleworks, mm-hmm. on his blog, he... said this is a beer. Every beer lover, every beer geek, should be on your bucket list.
Sure.
And he was all over the place when we saw him.
Yeah, he was. And that's go to beercast.com.
BIERKAST.
There you go, beercast.com, and you can read up on his. And then you know he's got he had his camera out and everything else. So
yeah, no, it's a well written piece. It was cool to see it because it kind of made me relive the festival a little bit. It's like, all right, that's cool.
So we ended up, one of the things that I was really, really, thankful for was the fact that you decided to buy all of us a liter of water before we went into the festival. I'm like, no, I've got this giant Diet Coke. I just want to drink this. No, it's not the same thing. And so I felt really pressured into drinking this water.
I just want to say that Paso Robles on Spring Street has the finest Jack in the Box in all of the land.
Man, that is some scary.
That is a high class Jack in the Box.
This one is actually scarier than the one in Malibu right along the coast. This is a scary Jack in the Box. But Joby came back from the gas station over there with some water, and I was just gonna leave it in the car, and then I kind of got guilted into taking it with me. And as we waited in line for the 10 or 15 minutes we were in line,
right,
I drank that entire liter, and that was a good thing.
Yeah, you gotta sit. I mean, it was I think your proud moment was, oh, it's only 99 yeah. in the shade or wherever the hell we were. It was hot.
I know, it was supposed to be 104 and it only hit 99.
Yeah, no,
according to my phone anyway.
I heard that the people that went last year, they didn't have fans and misters.
Oh.
And I think they learned a lesson and right. said, okay, we got to do something, because it was 100 something last year too, but mm-hmm. it was well air conditioned for being outdoors.
Right.
I mean, it was nice.
The
misters.
The what are?
I don't know what those are called. Those outdoor fans.
It had some sort of fancy name like transient cooler or something. I don't know. But these big fans blowing through these foils that had water dripping on it, you stood in front of it, and it was a good 20, 30 degrees cooler coming off of that. And when it was 90 degrees, that's... Yeah. That's,
I think we ended our day right by the Firestone fan.
We did,
and
yeah.
To the right, we had the what's it called? The Firestone trailer, and to the left, we had the fan, so it was perfect.
It worked out pretty well for us. So they... the other thing with the... with the festival... It, besides the fans and the misters, was a lot of shade trees on top of it. So they were taking care of us in a good way, which we needed it. And
yeah.
And I think maybe because I was worried that I was going to have to leave at 7 o'clock in the morning, something like that, to get back to Camarillo the next day, that I didn't go balls to the wall on this thing. I did a really good job of pacing myself. And really only taking sips of those giant 14% beers.
I didn't have to wake up at 7 or be on the road at 7. So we enjoyed ourselves. It was not in excess or anything, but no. It was perfect. I think it was just the right amount. It was perfect. I want to give a nice thank you to the Ballast Point guys, the Green Flash guys, hell, even Russian River.
Right.
You know, everybody was really nice to us, and mm-hmm. It was kind of fun to go behind the scenes. That was nice.
Right, your connections really, really laid the foundation for an epic day, and just being able to get behind the scenes and enjoy some of these things that we would need the VIP passes in order to have.
I think it was my connections in Andy's mouth,
right,
that really made for a great.
So Andy's one of the beer manager.
Yeah,
bar manager. So here at Barrel House 101, and he. Anytime we lost track of him, all we had to do was look to the nearest cool beer tent, and he was either talking to the brewmaster or he was pouring their beer.
Yeah,
how do you do this?
He was pouring Three Floyds Dark Lord, which is, it's like, you can't even get that beer, and then here he is pouring it.
I read an account that somebody was saying that the line for Dark Lord was hundreds of feet long. I would wager a bet that, yeah, hundreds if you're talking 300, because that was a good 100 yards long. I mean, that was just, that was crazy insane for these people waiting to, for their chance to get a beer. And you knew that about 75 yards back, you weren't getting any of that.
Yeah, I know. My favorite part is when I walked up to the Three Floyds tent and the security guard said, excuse me, you can't be back here. And I pointed at Andy and I said, that's okay, I'm not going to get him in trouble. I'll just go back.
But he's here.
I know, I was like, I'm just talking to him. Sir, you have to get out of here.
you are not allowed to be here. Well, I didn't know that there was security guard. I don't find it that surprising that they had security there too. Yeah. I mean, this is one of the most iconic beers in the U.S. right now, and so people are trying to sneak in line or cut line, whatever it is, to get up there.
So all in all, a world class event, a lot of fun, and we stopped at the brewery, which I had never been to, Firestone Brewery, and that was very impressive. Mm-hmm. I encourage anybody who's up there to stop by. I mean, it is just massive. It's but really beautiful inside, and all the brew kettles and the fermenters, and just a really nice.
Did you get a tour?
We talked our way into some sort of tour. Not really. It was more like a self-led tour. They said there were no tours that day because of construction, and then we went to this back door, and the lady said, "Well, if you want to go in there, it's fine. Go ahead." And then there were some brewers working. So, you know, it gives you an idea. Like, guys like Matt Burleson, you know, he's head brewer, brewmaster. He's not there, you know, 24-7. Like, we're meeting the guys that are there, like, Sunday, you know, 12:30, brewing probably 8:05, Union Jack, all these, or Double Barrel. Just 24-7, they're brewing stuff there. So you get an appreciation, like, how many brewers actually work there.
Yeah, you know, because we'd seen a couple brewers there as well. And that wasn't it wasn't Matt, you know, and you know, he put in his time certainly, and he's built an incredible brewery. So, you know, give him the props that he gets to take it easy a little bit, and he gets to work the day job, and then he gets
to be the creative man.
But think of these guys who are and women, if there's any women brewers in there, that, you know, they get on their resume, they get to say that they came out of Firestone Walker. Now that's a resume builder right there.
Yeah, I mean, it was really cool. And then went across the street to the tap room, and it's a copy of the one in Builton. Really nice.
Mm-hmm.
So all in all, great day. And then we stopped at Barrel House Brewing, which was really fun because we said, hey, we got the same name as you guys.
There it is.
You know, we need to team up. We need to do something. So that was cool. That's a great setup. They have an outdoor area, grass area, barbecue. You can bring your own stuff to barbecue.
And I don't even know where that is.
That was further down the road from Firestone, coming back towards us, but only a few miles.
Oh, in Paso.
In Paso, yeah.
Okay.
So, I guess their thing is BHB, Barrel House Brewing Company, but check them out if you're up there. And they're making some cool stuff. They've got their pale, Kolsch, IPA. So they kind of started with the standard things. And then out of the blue, they had a Jack Daniels barrel aged Imperial Stout. So I was like, oh, that's fun.
Nice.
I had enough of those on Saturday, but I still had to try like a little sampler, you know, after that. So yeah, really cool stuff up there.
Yeah, I don't know how you end up. I keep knocking to this camera. I don't know how you can stop once you start on those, especially if you're not already 100 degrees. I mean, that's breakfast right there, is an Imperial Stout.
Yeah, it actually was our breakfast. We looked at each other and said, you know, we should probably eat something. So we went over to Paso and did it. And had the tap room. So it was cool. It was a great weekend. Costa Pacifica, you guys. That should be the Costa Pacifica Beer and Wine Festival.
Right. I did try a few wines. My wife enjoys the wine, so we ended up doing some wine tasting. Had to give a good shout out to VC Buzz magazine I write for, because they ended up getting me VIP tickets. So we got in. My wife and I, we were able to roam around and go do the things that we wanted to do. And then, you know, if I keep getting VIP treatment, pretty soon I'm gonna really hate it when I don't get the VIP treatment, because
it actually does suck when you don't get it.
Because then you get to sit out away from everyone. You got chairs to sit on, and you've got all these other things to do. You know, that just make it worth the extra money. Definitely.
Yes. And they definitely do VIP right at Costa Pacifica.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a separate tank. You have your own bar, your own chefs in there. Yeah, it's really nice. Yeah. This is like the first year having gone. But it's a fantastic event. Talk about another well-run event.
It is.
I think they're like in their 20th year.
I think so. This was 20 year. And then not only that, but I only live up the street from there. So it's in my neighborhood. So I get to go and have as much fun as I possibly can. And then all I have to do is worry about is walking home. So it's all in good shape.
Not the rest of us, but.
No, I know.
There's only one road out of there. So.
In and out. Well, and it's the only time where I get that kind of treatment too, where I don't have to drive somewhere. So I'll take it anytime.
Well, I know how you feel. When we went to Daryl's couch, I was like, okay, now I gotta get back home.
No, how am I getting home?
And of course, we're driving.
Definitely.
And we were talking about that, the we're driving conversations as you're being driven home.
Right.
But you're in an altered state, and the driver is perfectly sober, as he should be.
The difference between a 5-minute drive and a 25-minute drive.
Yeah. So we're from Camarillo to here was, it's quite a bit of conversation. I was almost at the point where, having done the show, talking, then I was talking to Daryl and Joel, one of my customers' friend was there. And so I was like, I'm kind of done talking, and I get in the car, the guy, he's already talking. I'm like, all right, that's fine. We'll talk. I'm buzzed.
I was going to say, generally I don't have too bad of a problem, too tough of a trouble with that, because I'm really chatty when I get into the car. Anyway, hey, how's it going? Hey, all right, what are we doing? All right, let's get home. But I really appreciate them too, because they know my ride home, so I don't have to say, okay, take the next left.
Well, I think you actually know the drivers now.
I do,
right?
Yeah. I do. It's I know both of my regular drivers. All right, so... what's our list for?
So we're
cocktails coming.
We're gonna reel it back in from beer and wine, and we're gonna do summer cocktails today. So.
Summer cocktails.
And we have a whole bar at our disposal, which is really nice. So we can just tell somebody else to make it.
Sweet.
Which I encourage you to do. Or if you're gonna make it at home, we're gonna give you the recipes and tell you how to make them.
Perfect.
We've got some stuff like this is the hardest one for me to say. The caipirinha.
Caipirinha.
Yeah. No.
No. Caipirinha.
Caipirinha.
That's right.
There you go.
Yep.
The Pimm's Cup. We got a watermelon martini. Doesn't really have a fancy name, but the orange blossom with the Ventura blood orange cello. And then we'll just talk about the other ones. Those are the ones we're actually going to make and try. And then we got a whole list of other ones to talk about. So.
Sounds good. And I don't think any of these are utilizing crushed ice or blended.
No.
Are they?
No blenders here at Barrel House. Sorry. And just...
No ice headaches right away, brain freeze kinds of things right away. No ice, it'll be harmed in this.
No ice, it'll be crushed.
Other than the ones that sneak into my mouth and I crunch them up, but I'll try not to chew ice on Mike anyway.
Yeah, these are drinks, cocktails that you mix, whether it's shaken or you stir it or you just pour it into the glass. But yeah, no blenders needed, no electricity needed.
Perfect.
All right, so we're going to take our first break.
We'll take a little break here, and hopefully we'll break when the next bus comes by, so it's not...
I think another 15 or 20 minutes.
Okay.
There should be another bus come through. And then we can get the train. That would be really cool.
All right. Well, we are live at Barrel House 101 right now, so that's our ambient noise and people ordering Bud Lights.
People are ordering Bud Lights now. This place is going to hell.
All right, we'll catch you in a couple minutes.
All right.
And now back to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis.
Well, we're back.
That was the climactic ending to that one mint julep, which we are not putting together this evening.
Which is basically the mojito, but with bourbon.
So, right.
I believe, right?
And actually, that was one of the first, cocktail kinds of things I've had. Because we ended up making it with my wife's family, actually. So my father-in-law goes, you know what? Have you ever had a mint julep? I said, no. So then you go get the bourbon and you muddle it, whatever it is, and then you let it sit overnight. And then you pour them out. And then we had it at, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was. Hey, you want to...
I didn't realize that you let it sit overnight.
Yeah,
like
you kind of marinate. And then so, nice. Like, all right, so you want to start drinking at 7 o'clock in the morning? I'm up with that.
That sounds good.
I don't mind that.
There's nothing wrong with that. So, and I think it is kind of... I don't know which one came first, but the mojito is basically... It's the same thing, but, of course, light rum and... mint, lime juice, soda water, some people put in theirs. Depends if you want to or not. But we were talking a little bit about cocktails and what is a true cocktail.
Sure.
And by definition, and kind of how some of these things started. So Curtis, you said, I said it has to have bitters, and then you also said it has to have some sort of sugar.
Yeah, some kind of like simple syrup or even I've seen sugar, some right? like a sugar cube even.
Like a sugar cube, yeah.
So, because isn't that in an old fashioned? Isn't it bitters, a sugar cube, and then your whiskey?
Muddle and orange.
Oh.
The original, and then one of our customers who will remain unnamed because he said so, was... he has a great story, and it just some of these drinks, like muddling and mint and all that, it just makes me think of, like, if you go to a place, and perhaps the bartender, you know, it's either 50-50. Somebody's going to want to take that time and muddle, and mm-hmm. or they're just going to be like, oh, man.
Right, you like, ordered what?
Oh, man. So his story was that the place that he worked at, his thing was when somebody ordered mojito was they were out of mint. So they were always out of mint, and so he had this, like, no mint policy in his bar that he bartended. He was the lead bartender. But desserts and stuff would come out of the kitchen with mint on them, and people would walk right by and they would have mint on their cheesecake, sure, or whatever it was. Right. And people would say, "But I think there's some mint on the dessert thing." And he would say, "Oh, that's a different kind of mint. It's not the right kind for the mojitos." So we dubbed him No Mint. That's kind of his name, and he falls into the bartender that doesn't want to make them because mojitos and those kind of drink, caipirinhas and those, they're sort of like a spectator drink. It's like mm-hmm. once somebody makes it, then mm-hmm. it's like a chain reaction. And so some of these bartenders are like, oh, man, well, if I make one, I'm going to make 10 right now because everybody's going to want one.
Mm-hmm. And you've got a bartender here who
she's hoping that you order.
She gets into that. And I'm thinking back when we were here after show with Alex, and we ended up having the margaritas, which were the cucumber and jalapeno
cucumber and strawberry mint,
right? And she worked on those drinks for probably a good 10 minutes between the two of them to pull them out, and they looked beautiful, and I'm sure that they tasted just incredible. I mean, because she was muddling all of that and getting it straight, you know, getting it right, I guess.
Yeah, no, it is. It's like cooking or anything else. It's like you're making it, you're getting into it, you're making the drink. I mean, some of the drinks are easy, rocks, you know, throw mm-hmm. the liquor in and then throw the juice in or whatever. That's a different story. But when you get into some of these cocktails and the muddling and mm-hmm.
So maybe we should, we'll preface this by saying that we know that some of these drinks we're having this evening aren't technically, like, under our self-imposed guideline of what a cocktail is.
You're right.
Because we're going to have some other mixed kinds of drinks.
Some of them fall into martini.
Martinis.
But, of course, if you go by definition of a classic martini,
right,
they're not martinis because they're just a martini because they're in a martini glass.
And so we've got a couple. We're playing around. But we're not going the traditional route of a blended drink, margarita or whatever. Right. You know, we're staying away from margaritas. We're staying away from pina coladas and some of these other really tasty kinds of drinks, going towards some more maybe obscure ones that people may not have heard of,
right,
before, like this caipirinha here that I'm trying to get the correct pronunciation with it, but so this one is a unique drink, and it's especially delicious.
It is especially delicious. We're gonna get one made here soon, so
okay,
we'll get that. But
so what do we got on? What do we have on that?
Let's talk about some of the ones that we're not gonna make, and just kind of like ones that you could make at home.
Right. Yeah.
Well, actually, what's his name? James from Ventura Limoncello. He talked about doing the one with the Hefeweizen, the Limonweizen.
Okay. Right.
Which is just that's an easy one, mm-hmm. a beer tail, if you want to call
right.
it. Fill your glass, you know, about almost all the way up, maybe 3/4 full. And then, no, actually, maybe even more. Just leave just enough room to float limoncello on top of it.
Okay.
And so, you know, a lot of people like lemon and orange in their Hefeweizens, and this is a way to get it and kick up the alcohol, kick up the flavors that are in it. So that one's really good. I recommend that one. The one we do here also with beer is strawberry lambic with the Ventura limoncello, and it just makes, like, an excellent strawberry lemonade. Just fill a nice big glass with the ice, and then... you do a shot of limoncello in the bottom, and then just pour the strawberry lambic on top of it, and just really mixes up. It tastes like a strawberry lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the lambics are really low alcohol, so adding that shot really kind of kicks it up a little.
Helps it out a little
helps
bit.
Helps it out, yeah. Some of the crazy ones are the virgin of the, mine one that I like is just Campari and orange juice. I like the bitterness of the Campari. You just fill, you know, you get rocks in your glass and ounce and a half of Campari, and then fill the rest with OJ. You can do it in a tall glass so it kind of lasts longer while you're drinking it. Especially if you like hops and you like bitter beer, you'll love Campari. It's just got this bitterness quality to it.
I need to taste that because I don't know if I've ever had a Campari drink. So I'll be interested to give that one a shot at some point.
And I think technically it's an aperitivo, so it's like a pre-dinner drink. Okay. But those rules have kind of been bent anyways of, you know, digestives.
Have it whenever now.
Yeah, you can do it whenever. And, you know, those ones are easy. But my, you know, standard one, just I like a good old-fashioned. I don't know if that's a summer or a winter or just an anytime drink, but that's easy.
Yeah, that's
we're just saying bye to someone here.
Yeah, I had so the first time I had a sip of an old fashioned was just last week out of yours, and I'd been kind of searching for it. I tried to make one at home, and it didn't turn out well.
It's super easy though. You just have to use really good bitters and a good bourbon, muddle an orange and a cherry, and fill it with soda water, and that's it. There's been some controversy. I mean, there's a guy that wrote something recently, and I think it was in the Reporter, and he said, if a bar puts a cherry in your old fashioned, just walk out. But I mean, I've always learned it as it has a cherry and an orange. So not sure where the controversy started on the cherry part, but it really does add a nice flavor to it.
Well, I think now I remember why mine didn't work out very well, because I didn't have soda water. I had tonic, and
yeah, that's not gonna
work. It didn't work well. That's why I was, and then I didn't have an orange to muddle in. So I had a lot
of
things.
So you were missing basically everything that makes it all
except bad. For the bourbon. I had the cherry. You know, I'm pretty good at making Manhattans these days, so I can do that pretty well.
Yeah.
So I had all the Manhattan fixings. So I mean, an old fashioned is pretty close.
It's pretty close.
I just didn't have the soda water.
Yeah, I mean, we use Peychaud's here. It's from New Orleans. That's a great orange bitters. It's a really good flavor. And I see we got some drinks coming.
Oh my gosh, look at these.
These look good. I think we got the Pimm's cup already. So. Watermelon martini.
Fabulous.
It looks very fancy.
We've got to get her to describe what she did here.
Pimm's cup.
Hi, guys.
Hello. These look delicious. You did a good job here.
That is definitely a pinkies up drink right there.
I put fruits inside and also like as a garnishment. So
it is beautiful. So you were back there working pretty hard on these. So give us a
quick. Back to make the caipirinha.
No. You've got to tell us what you've done so far.
Oh, okay. Right here, just.
sound effects and all.
So I use. Oh, okay. Thanks.
We'll get the headphones on so she can hear herself.
Yeah. Somebody scored.
Oh, it's loud.
There you go. Okay, so just hold it and talk right into the top.
All right, well, we should introduce her. This is Lumina.
Hello, Lumina.
And
hello,
she's the one that
guys.
You were talking about that likes to make the cocktails, definitely.
Thanks right. for having me tonight. Oh.
Thank you.
So what do we have here,
Lumina? And wait a second, though. Before we go on, Lumina's our very first female guest that we've had on the show.
That's scary.
Woman power.
That's pretty scary.
We've been looking for that first chance to have somebody come on, and we've had a few voices in and out, you know, through the show, but nothing quite as involved so far.
I think you guys need that more often.
Yeah, I think we do. Yeah. I agree. We were talking about that pre-show.
How is my voice? Is it sexy?
It is. Very good. So tell us, which one do you want to tell us about first?
All right. So the first one is going to be the watermelon martini, you know.
Okay.
We use watermelon, really basic. It's like Tito's vodka and watermelon and
so
little
like
bit.
Like an ounce and a half of vodka?
Yeah. Right. And a little bit of simple syrup, okay. Just to get, you know, the little sweetness to it. And then I garnish with lime and watermelon.
And is there any limoncello?
No, I didn't add limoncello.
Okay, this one's nice. This one's just watermelon martini.
We can add limoncello
no,
to that.
No, that's fine. It looks really good. And then the Pimm's cup, this is Curtis's favorite.
I'm not familiar with the Pimm's.
Pimm's cup. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Pimm's cup. So I don't know.
Generally, what I do.
About it.
You know, on those, they tell on the back, it gives you specific measurements.
Right.
Me, I just fill the glass up with. Jeez.
All right.
I just fill the glass up with ice, and I do a half and half on that because I'm not afraid of Pimm's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did half Pimm's cup and half Sprite, and add some orange juice, some lime, some cucumbers.
It looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just it tastes really good. I was just wondering because you just gave me the bottle of Pimm's Cup. I don't know exactly.
Like, yeah, so Pimm's is a gin-based
liqueur.
Oh, there we go.
All
right, perfect. It's my first time using it, so.
Very.
All right. So and then you're gonna make us some caipirinhas on the camera.
Yes,
right
I'll be right back in a few minutes to make the caipirinhas.
All right.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Lumina. That's dangerously good.
If you're if you like watermelon, this is definitely the way to go.
So the watermelon puree, I mean, it is what it's pretty basic. You just cut yourself up some watermelon and put it in your food processor or your blender or whatever, and just puree it. And that's exactly what we did earlier today.
And no, Joby, I didn't have a drink yet. I would not dare drink before the host.
That's true. That's true.
I have experience.
Well, these, it's full on watermelon. The simple syrup adds a nice little sweetness to it as well. Boy, I don't know. Other than maybe just a tiny vapor, you can't tell that there's any alcohol.
You just get that last. Vodka. And Tito's is a really good Texas. Tito's homemade vodka, even though it's made in a distillery now, but yeah. It's really good.
And thanks, guys, for letting me have the mic. I'm Jason Hendrick. I like to sneak on the happy hour show from our other show, Pints and Pairings, and from Everybody's Hungry. But what I really like about this cocktail and what I like about this show in general is the summer aspect. We're talking about fresh ingredients, especially living here in Southern California. We're talking about, ingredients right out of our backyard, largely. A lot of farmers are bringing in these fresh fruits and vegetables, and you can taste the summer aspects right in this drink. And Lumina did a fantastic job. There's no residual syrupy sweetness. It doesn't taste like a processed or manufactured mix. You got the very fresh crispness of the watermelon, and you've got a nice balance with all the different flavors.
Yeah. And if you don't have a sugar rimmer home or a salt rimmer, I encourage everyone to get one in your bar. It's just to garnish it. I mean, it's just such a nice touch. You just stick that glass in there and give it. This one obviously has a sugar rim. You can do all kinds of different flavored rims, different salts. I think for Cinco de Mayo, we did margaritas with Lucas, which is a little, kids use it to put on, their fruit and stuff. It's, spicy and salty, and it's all kinds of colors.
Nice.
Definitely a Southern California thing. Little
yeah, so Lucas. You're probably getting that in a lot of the Hispanic markets, right?
Yeah.
Almost
so you just
like the tamarind style.
Yeah, put that in your salt rimmer, and then just do that on your margarita. Adds a nice spice to it. So it's all kinds of stuff you can do. And it really makes it, I don't know, it's just a finishing touch on your drinks. Like, garnishes. I'm all about the garnishes.
Sure.
Well, yeah, and the garnishes are...
And you can eat that one.
Yeah, the garnishes make it as well. You know, take a look at that. You know, it's if you've got these in... As you're making at home, you come to expect something like this when you go out. But you bring, if you've got some friends over and you bring out something that looks like this, it's going to be a hit automatically.
And you can definitely go too far with the garnishes. There are some places now they're doing sliders and bacon strips. And
I actually know a place that will do sliders on your Bloody Mary. And
that's all fun for novelty. But you just need a couple of basic ingredients. Like this one, we got a nice chunk of watermelon and we got a basic lime wedge. And the beauty about the citrus component, especially lime, this is going to accentuate and it's going to really lift up some of those other flavors without being its own standalone ingredient.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I've got a should I squeeze it in there, the lime as well, or
just seems to get a little extra citrus zing.
If I can get a little squeeze, I don't know. It's not going to
squeeze. Oh, mustard.
There
Curtis.
We go. I know it's squeezing out of my fingers, but there we go.
You shouldn't need a lot. A good fresh lime with a lot of vibrance. You only need a few drops for it to really work its way into the cocktail.
Hide that stuff behind me there.
All right.
Let's see what the lime did here. Mmm. That is nice, too. I like that.
And you get some of that sourness that's contrasting with the really sweet component of the watermelon.
Somebody said it tastes like watermelon.
What?
That's pretty good.
Watermelon martini tastes like watermelon.
That's crazy. I like that.
At least you don't have to spit any seeds.
No, that's true. Seedless watermelon.
All right, so this was probably the Pimm's Cup coming up. Unless you got something else you want to
about the watermelon. Good. We'll go right to
the Pimm's Cup here. This is a fantastic.
Now this is well garnished.
This is a fantastic looking drink right here. Yeah. So we've got cucumber slices in the mix, a lime. I do. I like to do all kinds of citrus with it. So orange, lime, lemon slices. Whatever you got.
Kind yeah, this is not a not a traditional garnish, right? You added some.
Well, I like to throw it all in. So this is So when I talk about that this is my favorite, I learned how to make this without any measuring cups, and so I don't go for the ounce and a half pour kind of thing. So my good friend and beer mentor Rick Hott taught me how to make this a few years ago, probably five or six, and it's a standard at my house right now. So you use Pimm's number one, which is a gin-based liqueur. There's all kinds of herbs and some other things, and there's some sweeteners. Fill your glass up half full, no matter how big the glass is.
It's always half full.
Fill it up half full.
So get a nice big 20-ounce.
You're such an optimist.
I know. You fill it up half full and then with the Pimm's, and then you put in a lemon-lime soda on top of it, whether it's ginger ale, 7-Up,
ginger
Sprite.
Ginger ale would be really good.
7-Up, yeah. Sprite, whatever it is.
This one happens to have Sprite in it.
I'm really intrigued by Lumina's concept, too, with the cucumber wet slices. Because cucumber is a natural kind of palate cleanser. It's going to give you a crispness, an herbaceousness, and a refreshing palate cleansing component that I wouldn't expect to have in this cocktail.
Now, the cucumber is definitely a traditional part of the Pimm's Cup, right?
The cucumber is, and then also,
and you can do it in
also
a pitcher,
an orange.
An orange.
Yeah,
so I know,
think I've only seen it with orange before. So mm-hmm. I came out of the Midwest. Maybe we don't do a lot of fresh cucumber in our Pimm's Cup out there, but
yeah.
This is a difference for me. I'm ready.
Yeah. And Pimm's is an English liqueur.
It is an English one. And
and I've heard that, if you're sitting around like we are right now, you would do like pitchers of Pimm's with the cucumber and everything, just kind of let it sit there. And then as you're pouring, it just keeps getting nice and infused.
Right. So if you do the measurements, you could drink these things all day.
If you do the measurements,
you can drink them all day. If you do it my way, no. You're you know, you get two or three, and then you're going to want to sit down for the
it
rest
has
of
a very
the
fresh
evening. Yeah, I think we should show the bottle, because I don't think anybody knows what Pimm's is.
All right, hold on a second. And it has a very fresh, almost garden kind of aspect to it. An underlying kind of seasoned salt. You know, you got the cucumber, and you got the little sweetness of the Pimm's working. This is really cool. This is a refreshing cocktail for sure. Hot summer day.
Right. This is what it's meant for is a summertime drink. You've got all this fresh fruit produce in it. And then also one of the things, like, I'll end up dumping a bunch of this into the glass with the ice before I pour it in. And it'll get that really frothy kind of like a root beer float kind of froth almost to it with all the fruit and the veggies inside too. But then when the oranges and the lemons are sitting in there for a while towards the end of the drink, you pull those out, and they've sucked up some of that, some of the Pimm's cup. And so you've got a nice little treat at the end to kind of cleanse the palate.
So the nice thing about it is, it's 25% alcohol. So mm-hmm. you can drink it for a while, which is nice.
Yeah,
that's why you double up your...
As I was saying, if you go buy...
if you go buy the thing, you can drink it all day,
right.
Probably, but...
Yeah.
Even by your measurements, Curtis, I think you'd be okay.
Well,
it's not 40. It's not 80 proof.
It depends on how long your day is.
That's true.
I tend to go to bed earlier than most. So
I really like this, though. This may be my new favorite summer
drink.
Cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
It's got like a little celery aspect. That cucumber is really working in conjunction with the sweetness in a pleasing way.
This one is tasty. I'm gonna
has a nice herbal quality. I mean, I'm a big fan of the herbal bitter ones like Fernet and those. And this has like just the right amount.
You know, today's show is all about cocktails, but we all largely come from a beer base, and we've talked in the past about complexities of beer, the number of ingredients that are involved with the brewing process. I like complexity. It allows you to really get different stages of a drink, and this right here is hitting all cylinders.
I don't know if I can follow up with that.
I know.
Other than this is what I was going to say right before that was that I didn't understand why I liked Pimm's so much until I was reading up on it and realized and read that it's a gin-based product, and then all of a sudden everything kind of starts to make sense to me. And one of the drinks that we're not talking about this evening is a gin and tonic. I mean, something that I love, if it's a hot day, gin and tonic is one of, almost a cure-all for me.
Yeah, the gin and tonic for me is almost like it's time to party. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird like that, but it's like that's going to be a good night if it's gin and tonic.
I'm not
a dangerous
sure.
night.
That's it. Yeah. No, but within reason, though. It's like an all-night gin and tonic night. It's not like a tequila night or something.
I have to agree. My first experience in gin was in college, and it was in a really horrible shot called a Hot Lips or something, and it has like gin and hot sauce, and it was horrible.
You had me a hot sauce.
Yeah. And so it was one of those things where I just drank it off the bar, and my friend's like, oh, do it, do it. And I couldn't do gin for like a year and a half.
Right.
When I got out on my own after I graduated, there's one day where it's just kind of hot outside, and I'm like, what am I going to drink right now? I want a cocktail, but I don't want anything heavy. I thought, well, let's give gin and tonic another try. Let's go back to it. I had good gin. I had crisp, you know, refreshing and bubbly tonic, and it hit the spot. Now, if I'm doing gin and tonics, it's always sapphire and tonic. It's got a great juniper and herbaceousness with a little bit of underlying sweetness in the sapphire. And that refreshing quinine in the tonic just does the trick. It kind of settles the stomach in the summertime, and I love them.
Yeah, no, I love gin and tonic.
Well, so if I'm going to pick a gin to mix, I'm going to do like Hendrix.
I love
the cucumber in that.
It is.
But, you know, and what's a shame to me is I love refined gin. I love it. But I'm not going to mix that in with tonic. It's going to totally lose. That gin is just perfect in and of itself.
And I think that's why you got to have a gin that stands up against the tonic if you're going to mix it. But you know, all of us were just recently up at Refine, like you were talking about, and their botanical brandy, that's something that totally can be poured right on the rocks. It's got enough layers of flavor with all the ingredients they're using. It's clean, and it's very simple in its approach that I think you don't need any mixers.
Yeah.
It'd be very beautiful.
I noticed Lumina is getting out some ingredients here for the... Looks like we're going to finish with
the
caipirinha.
Oh, very good.
And so this is cachaça, which is a sugarcane-based aguardiente rum, if you want to call it, Brazilian rum. You know, everybody, Caribbean, South America, everyone seems to have their version of a rum.
Is she going
to
shake the mixer like Carnival?
I don't know if you shake this one. We'll see. We'll see about that. I think there's a lot of muddling involved. I know that for sure.
Right.
But so that's the base for this drink. This is like the national drink of Brazil. When you drink it, you can't help but feel like, you know, you're at the beach or you're somewhere. And I was watching a show. They have stands on the beach that sell caipirinhas. I mean, it's just like it's just everywhere. Drink. And it's because it's so easy to make, but it's so refreshing at the same time. And as you can see, I don't know if the camera is over there, but she's got her basic ingredients so far: sugar, lime, and then the cachaça.
And it has some relatives throughout the rest of the world, right?
It does. Well, I guess mojito would be a kind of a relative, and some of the other ones, but there's no mint in a caipirinha, so don't put mint in your caipirinha.
The first time I had this was over at... sorry about that. The first time I had this was over at Moqueca in Oxnard, and it's a Brazilian restaurant, and we asked the waitress, what do we need to do? You know, we want a drink. What do you say? And this was what she said, you know, you've got to have it. So if you're going to have one drink, you need to do this one. And sure enough, you know, all of a sudden, here's this drink. And so we were ended up a drink that was good enough to where we ended up having to go and search out the Brazilian. What was it again? Rum?
Cachaça.
Cachaça.
And we had to go search that out. Yeah, to be honest, if you did walk into a place and say, I want cachaça, it might look at you sideways. Like, I don't think it's really gotten the attention here that it's on the way. And certainly your bigger places are going to probably know what you're talking about. But some of your liquor stores might not know what it is. So you kind of even have to know the name. Or Leblon, I think, is like one of the most famous, like, mass produced ones.
That's the one that I have.
And it happens to be my wife's. That's like her absolute favorite drink. And there are great versions of it. Strapinha, which is strawberry.
Oh.
And yes. And you're talking the mic. And they had a cashew one last time we went to Mukuweka, and I said,
wait, a cashew?
So this is what's funny. You would think, like, come on, you guys take cashews and muddle them in, and the server started laughing. He said, that's funny, everybody thinks that, but there's actually this little fruit that's on there on the cashew. They take that and they make a puree or like a syrup out of it. And they added that, and that was the best caipirinha I've ever had, like with that cashew fruit juice in it. It was incredible. It had this little nutty flavor to it, and then the lime. Yeah, next time you go there, you got to try it. But so there's versions of it. The original, of course, is just lime, but there's all kinds. The strawberry is incredible. It's a great version. Just take muddled strawberries in it, and you're good.
I'm going to have to do that. So I think we've got a couple minutes before she'll be able to come on over.
Maybe we'll take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break. And then when she comes back, we'll come back as soon as she's...
With the caipirinha. Too many Brazilian words.
So we'll come back while she's mixing that up. And we'll kind of talk our way through the rest of the show, I guess.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, catch you in a bit.
Brought up all the coconut. the sister had another one. She paid it for the line.
And now back to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. She drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the cooking. Now she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the cooking. Now she drank and pulled up.
Okay, I think we're ready.
Back for our last call.
I've got some strange noise coming in on one of these mics there. But okay, there we go. I think maybe it's just the people talking. Maybe that's why I can't just narrow it down. It's just people talking.
Lumen is ready to go.
Hey, welcome back to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. And we are in the last call segment here. We decided, because we're that kind of host, that we would have our drink made for us right here on camera.
It's fringe benefits.
I feel like a human boom mic.
Jason's holding the move. So
I don't know if I would call myself a human boom mic, but...
We should say, when you're out there having cocktails like we're having today, don't drink and drive.
Absolutely. So
yes, it's not worth it.
By the time we come into, whenever we get to last call, it's always time to start thinking about how am I getting home. And you've had the pleasure of using We're Driving. I use it every week after every show, I should say. And it's the best service. It's a designated driving service. You can either give them a call or make an appointment. And I generally get a text message sent to them around 11 o'clock in the morning, just so I don't have to worry about it the whole rest of the day. Say, I want to get picked up here at this time. And guess what? They're here at that time, and they drive me and my car home. So it's perfect.
No walk of shame in the morning.
No walk of shame and no DUIs. Nobody has to worry about me on the road. And it's a perfect way. I'm home safe. My family loves me for it. And if you're interested in this driving service, go to weirddriving.com. Yep. That is W-E-R-E driving.com.
That was not an earthquake.
And you can click on like rates and everything and figure out how much it costs you to get in.
Make a reservation, definitely.
Right. If you're going out and you know that you're going to be having a good time, make a reservation. It makes everything easy and you can get home. Yeah. All right. So
I'm going to let Lumina say the name of this drink.
Okay.
So we can get it right for the last time.
All right.
What is this drink called?
All right, guys. This drink, it's a caipirinha.
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 Come on, Curtis.
Caipirinha.
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 Pretty close.
That's pretty good.
That may be the best I can do without driving everyone insane.
We'll get you one or two more cocktails. You'll say it right.
Yeah, it'll be perfect.
It's some lubrication.
We'll let Lumina take over. She's got all the ingredients.
Okay, so tell us what to kind of walk us through what's going on here.
All right, so, you know, when you go to Brazil, we drink about everything, bunch of beers, everything. But this is very famous. You know, Brazilians like to go to the beach and enjoy, you know, life in a different way. So we have sugar cane spirit. It's a Brazilian rum. It calls cachaça. You can find this at Bevmo or whatever, OBC in Ohio.
There you go. There again.
Nice plug.
So we're going to use lime. Pretty much it depends how you like it. Some people like really sour. Some people like sweeter than sour. So I put about half lime here, I want to say, a little bit over.
Yeah.
Just a few slices. And then we're going to use sugar. I rather use sugar than simple syrup. A lot of people like to use syrup, but we gotta do the right way.
What do you feel the benefit is of the sugar versus simple syrup?
I just feel like it's more natural than the ones that you buy on the bottles.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know. I just like it. I just like the idea of having...
Well, we've been
everything natural.
We've been watching you make cocktails here for a while. And starting way back when you made the cucumber jalapeno margarita when Alex Vieco was here.
Right.
And that was probably the first time where I saw you just really getting into the whole prep kind of thing. And so,
right. You
know, I can see how, I mean, if it's a simple syrup for you, you're just pouring it in and that's it. But you really want to, you really take some kind of pride in muddling and getting it just right.
Yeah, that's true. You know, like if, I don't know, you make margaritas or mojitos, you like to show people that you are using fresh fruit. You're not using the lime juice. That's the difference between you just pour from the bottle or you're, you know, you're muddling the thing in front of the customers. It's just, it looks better, it looks healthier, more, you know. And
there's a certain level of craft and showmanship to cocktails, right? I mean, a lot of speakeasy bars nowadays, they like that showmanship. They like the expose of it to a certain degree.
Yeah. And there's also something, I mean, sweet and sour, the mix, is really bad. I mean, it's not only really bad for you, it's just really bad. It just brings nothing to the table but just empty, more empty calories and sugar. And so when you're using real lime juice, mixing in some orange juice for to make like the sweet and sour, you make your own and you'll never drink that stuff again.
And the thing too, you know, when you're making the drink in front of your guests, you have a little bit of time to talk about it. And, you know, tell about the drink. If you just pour everything from a bottle, you don't really, there is no really magic to it. I don't know, just how I think.
Can we show the glass on the camera real quick?
Yeah,
the amount of sugar and the juice that's been released is amazing.
So here's the sugar and the lime. I'm probably going to add one more packet of sugar. There's about four in here.
So muddling is just basically taking a giant stick and squishing stuff together.
Yes.
There it is. Mini baseball bat.
You should have a. You should definitely have a muddler in your bar.
Yes.
So what's the difference between a muddler and a pistol and
It's the same concept. You're talking about the
mortar and pistol.
Mortar and pistol.
So basically the same thing.
The glass replaces the mortar.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay, so I'm gonna
the amount
add
of fresh juice that came out of
I know,
that is amazing.
Amazing.
I think the sugar helps extract some of that too. You get a certain level of maceration.
Yes.
Now, Lumina, you don't put soda in yours, right?
No.
Yeah, so
no
some
soda.
Bars like to put soda water in theirs, and Lumina is just all
the
juice,
original
which it really
one,
makes it taste
original
good.
One, what do you like? The caipirinha is kind of tricky because it gets a little sweet sometimes. You know, you have the lime juice, so you have all the sugar. But at the same time, it's really strong. So that's how you get it, you know? It's, no, you don't want to add any soda to it. That's just sugar that you don't need and CO2, all that stuff.
I think one thing that, you know, when we're watching this process, especially as a bar owner, Joby, the concern is time and efficiency.
Yeah, right,
of
course.
You're making these from scratch the way she is, and you're putting that care into it. You're potentially distracting from your other guests. How do you leverage that? How do you get away from that?
Oh, that's, I mean, well, we always have, at least for one thing, we always have multiple bartenders on duty, so that's kind of nice. But, yeah, no, it definitely is a concern, and it's definitely a chain reaction drink, so somebody sees it, and then they'll be like, hey, what are you making? You know, and then so somebody else will get it. And so on the one hand, it takes a little time, but on the other hand, it, you know, you're selling more drinks all of a sudden, and people want it.
I believe the thing, too, is, you know, if I feel like we're really busy, of course I'm going to make a little faster, but if I feel like we're okay, the other bartender, you know, my coworker is taking care of everybody. So, you know, I'll go a little slower, but of course, if you're super busy, I can make it faster. It's just, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, we're good. You know, I'm going to take my time and talk to this couple, or, you know, it's the first time here or whatever, you know, even if it's regular, so.
So, well, there was no shot pour, no anything. So how are you judging what how you pour?
I just go by count. I do like six count, and you know, basically just the lime juice and the cachaça. So there is it's not a lot of mixed chua. There's no sweet and sour. There is no soda water or nothing like that.
So Joby, tell me real quick about this count. I've seen your bartenders do this often. Instead of using the shot pours, they're counting out. So
Any of our, well, she didn't have a pourer on there, but she's still doing the count. So a four count on our pourers, it should be right about an ounce and a quarter, and a six count is going to be about an ounce. Oh, she just has four on there.
Okay.
It'll be an ounce out, and then a martini will be like a 10 to 12 count. So you're really, I mean, you're getting like almost 4 ounces of liquor when you do your martini. So different bar, and that's actually how you kind of like check everybody is to go by counts. And so most places, it depends on your house count. We do like an ounce and a half pour. For the drinks, we just keep it all the same. And then for the top shelf stuff, then they do pull out a jigger and it's like a little more precise for some of that. But most of the stuff, you're doing a count. It's a bartenders, they kind of learn to just count while they're talking. I mean, it's just something you do in your head.
Yeah.
And it's good to do at home, too, actually. If you train yourself to do it, you can make your drink, except for the Pimm's cup that Curtis makes, but for the most part, you can make your drinks and you can kind of remember how your measurements for when you're making it the next time.
Generally, I don't have to count for mine because mine is half alcohol and then maybe a splash of mixer on top.
But, well, I mean, and there is something to be said, though, for not putting too much alcohol in your drink. I mean, people talk all the time about, oh, yeah, I went to this so-and-so bar and, yeah, they pour it real heavy. But the truth is that you don't want to pour it really heavy.
No.
I mean, it's bad for everybody, actually. You're going to sell less drinks because you're going to get drunk. The person's going to get drunk faster. And it's just, and you're overusing the alcohol. There's no reason. It should be more spaced out.
You want to have the same amount of, you know, the sweet, the sour, and the liquor. You don't want it to be too strong or too weak. So if you know what you're doing, it's like the perfect.
Mm-hmm. I think that's perfect. Exactly what I was going to say. Outside of the bar setting, even when you're at home, if you don't have a good balance, you're actually doing yourself a disservice. You want to let all those flavors come through in the way they are intended and not overpower them with alcohol or too sweet or too sour.
Yeah.
So balance is key. Yeah.
There's the end result. It's beautiful.
It's got a really cool little greenish color.
Yeah.
So, yeah, usually, I don't know how Joby wants to do. Maybe we pour in a bucket, you know, so.
Oh, for us to try it? We can share it.
It needs a little bit more.
Did you get that color on there, Curtis?
Maybe a little too sour. But,
no, that's delicious. The cachaça has this very, very distinct finish compared to even another kind of rum.
Yes.
And it really comes through. What you drink it, you get the lime.
Yeah.
You get that freshness, that quenching. And I don't, for the amount of sugar you put in there, that's crazy. I mean, it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, you put a lot of sugar.
Yeah,
four packets.
A lot of sugar, but it's a great, it's almost like a limeade.
Yeah, it is like a limeade.
There's a hint of tequila in there for me, you know, and I don't
know.
So
that must be that finish that I'm talking about. And there is no oak aging on this, so it's crazy. It's like this. Yeah, you're right. It's like a sort of a agave finish. This is just sugar cane, distilled sugar cane.
That's true. So if you want something fresh, you know, you don't feel like a mojito or, you know, a margarita, you want to try something different, you should definitely try our caipirinha. I'll make it for you. Come try.
Right.
And these are very dangerous. They're so good.
Yeah, we were talking about the balance.
That's what I was saying.
There's just enough little bite in there to remind you that it's full
there's
of alcohol.
There's some alcohol in there.
But it's got a great, like you said, a sweetness up front. It's got the tart and kind of sour lime component. And that little hint of burn in the back of the throat.
I think it's that dryness and the burn that makes you want another sip.
Yeah.
And I think to me that's a sign of a lot of good stuff. It's like, oh, I want to take another sip right away.
That's where it gets you.
You know, I like, you know, Curtis, we've had enough shows where I like to venture out a little bit. But I feel like there's almost a little nuttiness. After you swallowed and you take a little breath of air, there's a little bit of, like we were talking about cashews earlier, a little bit of that sweet, nutty component in the back of the throat, right in the back side of the tongue.
Yeah, it's absolutely delicious. I like these. That's a great drink. And it's one of those when no one, if they've never had it and they have it, they're like, all right, I want to drink one of these now. Even, you know, people will drink beer and then finish with one of those just to kind of like cleanse themselves.
While we're driving.
Hopefully calling we're driving after. But thanks a lot, Lumina. That was awesome.
No, thank you guys.
I appreciate
thank you very
it.
Much.
Thank
thanks
you.
For having
thank
me.
You, thank you.
Make sure you come and ask for a caipirinha from Lumina.
All right. Turn that mic down. No, this one right there. All right.
All right, Curtis.
So I wonder, should we take a quick break here, kind of reorganize, and then come back for the last 10 minutes or so?
I guess we could wrap it up. I don't know. That was as good finish as any right
don't
there.
Don't give me a partner. It's your show.
Yeah.
I'm just a hog in the coin.
It's all right. Well, you know, this is different than the Caipirinha that I remember having. I want that drink right there.
For all those people watching at home, the arm that just shot in, they wanted the Caipirinha.
Yeah.
Well, the that's different than the one that I had before, and this one is, I'm not sure if I can say which one I preferred, but I don't remember that sort of nutty kind of flavor finish on it. And
I think this is a better cachaça. I mean, nothing against Mocueca, but this is probably a better cachaça than... And
right.
So you're going to find your differences, just like a vodka or anything else.
Did they make theirs with the fresh lime?
They use fresh lime.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think they put soda water in theirs. Nothing against them, but I think they do put soda water, and that will cut a lot of that flavor.
That's right. And so when we first were talking about that, because... I was leading up to fizzy sort of cocktails, refreshing cocktails. This is really what I had in mind. I mean, the Pimm's cup, but then this one too, with just a little bit of carbonation in there. helps to lighten that up a little bit, and that's probably what it was.
And it's definitely personal preference. If you want to put some soda water in yours at home, go ahead. There's no law against putting it in there, but I kind of like that it's not bubbly.
This reminds me more of margarita,
right? Yeah.
and certainly a mojito and some other things where it's nice just to have it as is, and you don't need to add the extra carbonic bite or calories into it either.
Yeah, right. This is another one that you can definitely do in big batches. That's what I like about these. You could make like a pitcher of these and just sit out and have them sort of like keep making, you know, one by one.
What's nice about all these cocktails we've tried is outside of the garnish, it's very minimal ingredients.
It is very minimal,
and
very
so
simple.
You've got really crisp and fresh ingredients, a low number of them, and each one of their flavors is really showing up in the drink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and, you know, watermelons are starting to hit the shelves.
Yeah, they're starting to be really.
And a month ago, the Texas watermelons were still kind of bland. Now the Texas watermelons are starting to ripen up for us as they've sat in the grocery store for a month. But, you know, we've got a ways to wait yet before our California melons come into play. But once they do, this, you know, I'm looking at changing this watermelon into honeydew or cantaloupe even.
And really cool.
That'd be really good.
Hey, for pints and pairings, instead of lemon water and lime water like we've been doing, can we do watermelon water?
That's a little too sweet, I think, on that backside. But you never know. I mean, carbonation.
I guess we have to go to watermelon martinis.
Right.
There you go.
We'll have to do that one.
Just make sure you put your pinkies up when you drink it. It's very right. crucial.
Pinky it's balanced and delicate.
It is balanced and delicate.
Right.
So.
Right.
All right, Curtis, great show. Awesome cocktails. I'm going to enjoy some more of something here.
Right. We've got a couple here, and then I've also got a whole other bottle of Pimm's back here, too, so we can...
I think Scott here, one of our other guests on the show before, he was eyeing the Pimm. So.
We got to get him a Pimm's cup.
He's a little disappointed that he didn't get to muddle the caipirinha.
Well, I'm gonna let him put a cucumber in that drink of his.
There's still time to muddle something.
metaphorically speaking, of course.
All right, Curtis.
All right, Joby.
Thanks for joining us.
Well,
Happy hour.
Before we do this, just to give a heads up on everyone. I'm going on an extended family vacation here, so we're
going dark.
Neither Joby or I know how to set up the gear.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
The break.
I think I can figure it out.
The break in this. The break. Unfortunately, I'm bringing it with me because I'm going to hit all these breweries along the way, and I'm going to do interviews along the way. So
we'll have to go over to the studio.
Right. So it's going to be. It'll be like July 7th. No. It'll be whatever that is. The 13th, maybe 7th.
Yeah. So we're going to be off for 13th. Quite a bit of June.
For a while here, but
maybe we'll play some best of.
Well, you want right. to go.
Well, but hopefully in the next couple of days we'll be able to get back in and then do a brewery or a brewmaster interview with Ninkasi. So we might have a few little things here and there that kind of sneak out, but for a full fledged show, it's going to be a while.
Well, make sure to subscribe to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis through iTunes as well. Get all those past podcasts.
Yeah, you can listen to all the past shows
because otherwise. Joby and I are going to have to try our own thing for the next couple of weeks, and it's going to be less than happy hour without Curtis. So,
yeah. So we're going to be off for a month.
Right. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
We'll be back though, and bigger than life when we do come back.
Jason, as always, thank you.
No, thank you very much.
And Madi, who's off camera right now.
She's over there. Lumina, definitely. Scott.
Oh, there she
I'm
is.
Like, Scott. I'm Scott. Scott. I'm looking forward to pouring you a drink here in a minute, and then
he's going to pour you a Pimm's cup.
In Joby?
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
All right.
We'll see you guys. See you. Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis.
Cheers.
Hey, thanks for listening to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. If you like this podcast, make sure you like us on iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook under Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. Give us a like and share it with all your friends. We'd appreciate it. Cheers.